Hallelujah. Well, good morning again, and I'm going to get started right here. Today, we're talking about the time of the promise. What happens? How does God make it all come together? Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that, first of all, a promise is not a promise unless you know what was promised. That's the first thing. You know, so if something was promised and you did not know it was promised, then it's not a promise. I mean, it's of non-effect. So the first thing is we must know what God has promised. And, you know, even the little children, if the parent promises something, they're not going to let that thing go. They know what was promised. They're going to say, well, you promised, you said, we can do this, we can do that. You know, so first, we must know that he promised it. But then there are times in God's mind that there may be a specific time for that promise to come to pass. It's not every promise that once we know it, we can realize it right away. Many of them are like that. But some of them, there might be a time in God's mind. Either way, let's look at some scriptures today to see how God orchestrates things when that time of the promise is drawing near. So that's the exhortation this morning. As the time of the promise is drawing near. Well, let's take a look first of all at the story of Abraham, which we know. And when God promised him something, he also told him, you know, that, you know, it's going to be 400 years that his children, his seed, will be out there in the land of captivity. And that they were going to be enslaved for 400 years. The Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 15 and verse 13. This was before he even had a child. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now God's able to say something like that because he has complete foreknowledge of all things. So he already knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew how long it would be to. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward they shall come out with great substance. You know, so that's something that the Lord showed Abraham what was going to happen. Even at that time, he didn't have a child yet. But God, you know, prophesied and revealed this thing to him. But there's a promise hidden even in that conversation. The promise that's hidden in that conversation is that, well, after those people have been in servitude for 400 years, that the Lord is going to bring them out and that they will come out with great substance. So that's a promise that's hidden there. Even though it looks like God is just telling him something that will happen in the future, inside of that, there is a promise. So we fast forward to the story of Stephen in the book of Acts chapter 7. Now, when Stephen was preaching to the multitude, this incredible message that Stephen preached in Acts chapter 7 also reveals something about the time of the promise. So Stephen started to talk from the beginning. He used Abraham as the beginning of the story of the children of Israel, the Jews. And he talked about how God appeared to Abraham, told him to get out of his own country and so forth, and how the Lord would give him a promise. of a seed that is coming after him, even though he had no child. And that his seed, I picked this up story in Acts chapter 7. And God spake, verse 6, to Abraham on this wise, saying that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and then treat them with evil 400 years. That's the same thing we just read. And that nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come out and serve me in this place. You know, and he went on to say, you know, how, you know, he gave him the circumcision covenant and so on and so forth. So, and as it happens, we know the story. The story was, you know, we've told that many times in this room, so I'm not going into the story of Joseph exactly, but I'm going into this part of it. And so let's pick it up from verse 14. Then I skip the story of Joseph. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down to Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried into Shechem and laid his in sepulcher, Abraham that bought the son of money and so forth. Now verse 17, but when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, then certain things started to happen. So this is our lesson today. When the time of promise draws near, God begins to set certain things in motion. Now, there are many ways in which God can do this. One way, which is not pleasant sometimes, is that God may actually allow the distress that people are going through to get worse. The affliction may increase, and that, you know, that pressure causes the people to cry out unto him. There's a number of ways that God can do it. God already sees the promise, and he sees the time approaching. You know, and in order for that promise to come to pass, at the time of the promise, when that time draws near, God will begin to set some things in place. One of the things he might set in place was to make, you know, the current condition that you are in right now get even more uncomfortable. When it gets more uncomfortable, then you begin to cry out unto him. We see that in the story of these children of Israel that we are just alluding to here. When their situation, you know, when another Pharaoh arose up that did not know Joseph, then he began to torment them and put them into slavery and all that. And God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, from verse 7 to 10, he told Moses about the mission that Moses was going to have to go bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. And the Lord said unto him, let's pick up this story in Exodus chapter 3. And let's pick up this story from verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Now, there was a process here revealed in this short verse. The people were afflicted for many years, and it looks like that when their affliction began to get worse, then they started to cry out to the Lord. You know, sometimes the affliction getting worse, the situation getting worse, the distress getting worse may cause us to actually begin to cry out to the Lord. And if you're not crying out to the Lord, maybe he may not move into action, because, you know, here's how God described it here. I have seen their affliction. Maybe the whole time they were afflicted, they were not crying out. And then I have heard the affliction. And he put it in that order. He didn't say I heard the affliction first and then seen the affliction, or heard their cry first and then seen the affliction. No, he's seen the affliction for many years. Maybe they just resigned into that situation and went along with it. But when they started to cry unto the Lord, then the Lord said, well, I got to do something about this. Glory to God. You know, so, and he said, come now, therefore, let me send you to Pharaoh and to bring out my people and all that. But there is a lesson that I'm going to bring out in this today. There is God's role that he plays when the time of the promise is drawing near. And there is our role that we must play when the time of the promise is drawing near. I'm going to focus more on the latter, which is the role that we must play when the time of the promise is drawing near. Now, God's role that he plays is, look, he's got the power. He has the ability to cause things to happen. There's a story in 1 Kings chapters 17 and 18. The story of Elijah, the Tishbite. It was a prophet that stood before God. And when he declared that there would be no rain until he brings word again, the Lord sent him. He said, go to this brook over here and dwell there. And I will send the ravens. He said, I've commanded the ravens there to sustain you. And so he went and dwelt there. Now, after many days, or after a long time, it came to pass that the brook where God had sent Elijah to actually dried up. Now, there was a reason unknown to Elijah where this brook dried up. He didn't know it. You know, so if you look at the story in 1 Kings 17, you know, and see everything that happened when he was at this brook called Cherith. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. 1 Kings 17 and verse 6. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, why did the Lord allow the brook to dry up? I mean, the God of heaven, the creator of the ends of the earth, he could have, you know, sustained that brook from not drying up. I mean, he could have, but he did not. Now, there was something that God was fixing to do. Perhaps there was a widow woman that was crying out to the Lord. Perhaps her situation was getting worse. And she's about to die because, you know, the famine has been so long. She and her little child, her husband is gone. So she had to fend for herself. And she's in a distressed situation. But she might have been crying out to God and say, well, I don't know, you know, we're coming up to our last days here. Now, in order for God to answer that woman's prayer and relieve her in that situation, God had to do something here. God had to send her Elijah, the prophet. But in order for Elijah to get up from where his comfort zone, everybody else had the famine, everybody else had nothing going on. Elijah had the brook, was drinking from it. He had raven, room service twice a day. The Lord commanded the ravens, they brought him food. I don't know where they got the food from, but they brought it to him. And it was fresh food every day, you know. And so, but in order for God to do this 2-for-1 blessing, well, he said to Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain you. So get up and go to this place called Zarephath. Now, Elijah, until God said that, he didn't know about it. The woman herself did not know. But in order for that to happen, God had to allow the brook to dry up. Now, here's another lesson in this. Sometimes when the time of promise is drawing near of something that God wants to do for you in your life that he has promised, he may actually allow the brook to dry up. Now, Elijah, of course, you know, he was someone that knew the ways of the Lord. Otherwise, he could have stayed in that place praying against the brook drying up. And if it was many of us today, that's exactly what we probably would have done. When that brook dried up and it was time to get out of there, we would stay there and pray, rebuke the brook, do all kinds of things so that the brook wouldn't dry up. But Elijah knew it was time. The brook had dried up and it was time. There's so many situations that we're in. Your job and so forth, things will get even worse. You know, it's because it's time for God to give you a greater blessing. And you will not be able to get that blessing if you stayed where you were. And it will allow the situation to get worse. The great bird called the eagle does the same thing in the nest. And he's trying to get the young eaglet to develop, and they're not doing it. So he'll put thorns, the mother eagle, she'll put thorns and everything in those nests to make it uncomfortable and stir up the nest and everything to get that little eaglet out of there, make that situation uncomfortable. Now we see that when Elijah went to the woman, there was a blessing, both for the woman and for Elijah, because Elijah was sustained by the woman, and the word of the Lord through the mouth of Elijah also sustained the woman. The barrel of meal did not waste, and the cruse of oil did not fail. And God used, you know, the little that the woman had to sustain the both of them. But also God told Elijah in 1 Kings 18 and verse 1, get up and go and show yourself to Ahab today, because I will now send rain. Now that's a promise. The rain is coming. Elijah knew that. And so he went, and the drama ensued with the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and all the prophets of Baal, or Baal, as some people call it, 450 prophets, and then another 400 prophets of the group. So basically, 850 of them versus one person called Elijah. And of course, you know, that part is not my lesson today, so I'll leave that story alone. But you all know the story, and I hope you do. The God that answered by fire, let him be God. And only Elijah's God answered by fire. And the people finally said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Well, and after that, Elijah commanded the people to grab all those, you know, fake prophets and kill them. And he killed them. And then he said to Ahab, get thee up and go and eat and drink, because I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Well, okay, so here is where we're going with this lesson now. Elijah said to Ahab, you go and eat and drink, because I hear the abundance of rain coming. Now, he said, you know, he already heard from the Lord. Right? So God gave him the promise that he was sending rain today. And as a prophet, he saw that even coming. But what did Elijah do? Two things he did. One, he sent Ahab away. And then two, you know, but he did send Ahab away to go and eat and drink. But he himself, did he go and eat and drink? Absolutely not. He went up to the top of Carmel. So let's read it here in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. But Elijah, he went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down to the earth and put his face between his knees, and he began to pray. Now, Elijah had the promise of God, and God already gave him the promise. And being a prophet, he already saw it coming. And yet he said, you know, when he sent the wicked King Ahab away, get out of the way so the Lord can do the thing that he wants to do, he himself did not go and eat and drink. Instead, he went and prayed fervently. You know, we're told in James, you know, chapter 5, how he prayed fervently. And there's a lesson there that says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He put his face between his knees. He began to agonize in prayer. Why are you agonizing for something God already promised? God already promised you that it's coming. And he already saw it coming. So what's the point of agonizing for it? Well, that's the point in today's lesson. When that time of promise draws near, when God begins to do his part, then we must do our part. God's part is he will set certain things in motion. Your situation may even get worse. Sometimes people say, well, things may get worse before they get better. Well, that may be God trying to stir you on. But what is your role in that situation? What should your role then be? Well, our role should be, you know, honestly contend for that promise. Don't just sit down and say, well, God already promised it, therefore it's going to come. That would be a big mistake. Because I'm going to show you a few more cases here in the Bible. This is the first one, Elijah, when he knew that the promise of rain was coming. And yet, instead of going up to celebrate the coming rain, he went up to pray. And prayed agonizing prayer. Putting his face between his knees. And he sent his servant to go and check it out. And the man went, he said to his servant, go and look toward the sea. The man looked and came and said, there is nothing. Then he sent him again, go and look again. And then he came back and said, there is nothing. And he did that 7 times. The whole time Elijah continued to pray. Now, this is a big lesson for us, that just because God promised something doesn't mean we're immediately going to get it. And even though God may already be doing his part, putting things into place, we must do our part is to pray that promise through. That's right. Many people don't know how to do that. You know, we got to contend for that promise through prayer. And sometimes effectual fervent prayer, sometimes agonizing prayer. You know, sometimes you got to, you know, get in that fight. Because the devil, you know, if he has something to say about that promise, he's going to do it. He's not going to let you just sit back, relax, and get the promise that God has promised you. Because unless he doesn't know anything about it, unless God told you in secret and the devil didn't hear it, but if the devil heard it and you opened your mouth and you said it and the devil already heard it, then he's going to do everything he can to make sure that thing does not come to pass. And because that's what he does. He comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Steal that promise from you. Do everything he can. But what must you do? You must pray fervently, even though God has already promised it. You remember, God has foreknowledge of all things. God already saw it, and he gave his promise. He gave his word. But You got to pray. Now, sometimes you got to cry out to God. Like the children of Israel, they had to cry out to God. And then God began to do something. And Elijah here, he had to pray. I mean, pray for something God already promised. He already promised it. Might as well just sit down, eat and drink. No, he's not going to eat. He's not going to drink. He's going to pray that promise down. So finally, after seven times, the servant said, I see something happening. I see there is a cloud coming out of the sea. It looks like a little man's hand. And Elijah said, that's it. That's it right there. You know, glory to God. And he did that. It took seven times before he saw anything. But he kept at the prayer. And then finally he said, yep, that's it. Now get thee out, down, and go. Prepare thy chariot. Get thee down. The rain is coming. You know, and so on and so forth. So that's how Elijah contended for that promise. Even though he had the word of promise that the rain was coming, he still had to pray for it. Now, there is a story here in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, we learned that Daniel understood by the books. He read the writings of Jeremiah, how that the children of Israel, you know, would have 70 years in captivity. So let's read it here from Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. In the first year of the reign of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, the 70 years were just around the corner. So this man read the books. Like I said at the beginning, a promise is not a promise unless you know it was promised. A promise is not a promise unless you know what was promised. So you must know it was promised and you must know what was promised. Otherwise, it's not a promise. You know, it's just a statement that somebody made. And if you don't know it, then it's not a promise. It's a promise only when you know it, that that person promised it. And you know what they promised. Then it is a promise. Now, Daniel, he saw this. I mean, he began to see the time of promise that after 70 years of desolation, God will visit these people again and bring them out of captivity. Those were the words of Jeremiah. So Daniel, when he read that, he said, my goodness, the time is at hand. You know, and what did he start to do when the time was at hand? Well, you know, he could have started to eat and drink and celebrate because now the time is at hand. But he did the exact opposite. In verse 3, he said, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I mean, the promise was just around the corner. 70 years was almost there. I don't know, maybe this was year 69 or whatever. And he was getting very close to it. And he saw that, the word of the Lord, he counted the time. He said, yeah, it's time for God to do this thing. The time of the promise is drawing near. But he set his face in prayer. And he began to seek the Lord and to pray and to make supplication and confession, both for himself and the people and everything. And he began to pray and seek the Lord with sackcloth, with fasting, with ashes on his head, you know, and everything like that. And eventually, you know, he prayed through. Yes, and the Lord inclined his ear unto his prayer. And while I was yet speaking in prayer, verse 21, even Gabriel, whom I had seen at the vision in the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come forth to give you skill and understanding. And at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. And so he began to tell him, you know, told him all the things, and he gave him even some incredible things. giving even understanding of even greater things to, things that are coming in the future. The 70 weeks, the so-called famous Daniel 70th week came from this chapter here of 70 weeks and so forth. A week being for a year, and they told him many things. But eventually they did get out of that particular captivity because the Lord promise was there and somebody decided to pray. Now, when it is time, as the time of promise draws near, our role must be for us to pray. Here is a promise that God gives to us in Ezekiel chapter 12. And let me read it from verse 25. Verse 28 is really what I care about here, but let's read it for a little context. You know, in this chapter of Ezekiel 12, the people of the Lord, the children of Israel, they are complaining. They are complaining that the days are prolonged and every vision is failing. You know, things are not happening that God has promised. Well, we're coming to the end of the year. This is day 18 of December. So we are practically less than 2 weeks to go. Now, there may have been some things promised you since the beginning of this year, which you have not yet accomplished. And maybe the Lord said it will be this year. Okay, then what should you do? You know, so, and the people say, well, you know, the effect of every vision failure, these things have been long, it's not happening, and so forth. Everybody's grumbling. So the Lord said to them, look, there shall no more any vain vision or any of these things happen within the house of the Lord, the house of Israel. For I am the Lord, verse 25, and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass, shall no more be prolonged in your days, told them. But they were rebellious, a rebellious house. They rebelled against the word of the Lord. Will I say the word, and I will perform it, said the Lord. You know. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, behold the house of Israel. They say that the vision he seeth is for many days. They prophesy for times to come up. This thing is, it may not happen in our time. We've been waiting for it, and it's not happening. So the Lord said unto them, therefore say unto them, thus said the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore, but the word which I have spoken shall be done. And I say, shall be done quickly, saith the Lord. Now, that's the promise. And if you know what was promised to you and you know it was promised, then what are you going to do about it? But what you need to do about it is get a hold of that promise and get into prayer. It's not the time to feast and drink, because feasting and drinking is not going to bring the promise. The word of God that we saw that was promised for all these people, they went into prayer, even though they already knew the promise. We must go into prayer. We must begin to pray. It's kind of like praying the promise through. Now, there is a time for everything, and I believe with all my heart that if we believe the Lord strongly enough, we can get his blessings anytime. We don't need to wait for any specific time, but there are some things that are timed by the Lord, and there is just nothing, that can make it happen sooner or later. Look at this story that we went through briefly of the children of Israel. Why did it take 400 years? God could have answered them in the first 50 years. Why did they have to be in that captivity for 400 years? Well, why not the first 100 years? Why not the first 200, 300, 400? Why? There are some things that may be timed. God knows why. But if it is like that, then there is also, there's always a situation where the night turns to the day. We know that. The night cannot last forever. So at some point in time, the day must break. And here in Proverbs 23 and verse 18, it says, for surely there is an end. There is an end to the distress. There is an end to the affliction. There's an end to the uncomfortable situation that you are in now. And your expectation shall not be cut off. But what must you do if you know there is an end? Let's say God reveals to you the time of the promise. And when that time of the promise is drawing near, then what must you do? Pray and seek the face of the Lord even like never before. That's the time to fast like never before. That's the time to pray like never before. Because the enemy is going to prevent that promise, if he can, by all means, from coming to pass. He's going to do everything he can to make sure you don't get that promise. But meanwhile, the Lord is watching over his word also to perform it. When the Lord sees that you are really praying and believing and crying out to him, God has the power in the heavens to command those strong angels to go and make sure that what you are believing for come to pass. All he needs is one angel, and he can do it too. According to the words of Psalm 103 and verse 20, the angels that excel in strength, you know, that hearken, you know, do his commandments and are hearken to the voice of his word. When you begin to cry out to the Lord and repeating his word, the Lord will take care of that business. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it tells us of many seasons. You know, now this is not to make you think that you got to, I mean, there are some daily blessings which we don't need. They don't need to be seasonal. You just believe God, you can get a hold of it at any time. But there may also be something that God has appointed for a certain season that's best known to him. Now, if you have tremendous faith, maybe you can pierce the veil of time and get to it before the time. But there are certain things that God put out there, and they're going to happen as it is. So everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So you can read the next 8 verses, and I will not read them, but it talks to you of all these things. Time to do this, time to do that, time to do the other, and time to do the other. But what I want to focus on today is this. If you know the promise, and you know the time of promise, you know, then it is time for you to begin to believe God even stronger. And you got to contend for the promise. And here is a promise that God has put out there. In the book of Psalm 102, we read from verse 11 to 13. Here's a promise that God gave us, that there is a time that he has appointed. Glory to God. You know, so he says in verse 13, particularly is the one that I want to read. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. Well, put your name there. Put your family name there. For that time, glory to God, to favor her. Yea, the set time has come. Now, when the set time has come, or the time of the promise draws near, then what do you begin to do? It's the time for you to begin to pray. You got to contend. You got to fight for that promise. Because there will be all kinds of contradictions against that promise. A devil will put up a fight. And make sure, and then things will actually start going worse before they get better. When Jesus said in Mark chapter 4, and I refer to this all the time because it is so pertinent when you talk about these things. And he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. And he went into the boat and he began to sleep, and the storm arose. Well, just because Jesus said, let us go over to the other side, doesn't mean you are going to get there if the devil can prevent it. So the devil is going to try to prevent you from getting to the other side. It's going to bring all kinds of tempests. The boat is going to be tossed up and down. I mean, it's going to try to destroy that boat so that that word of let us cross over to the other side will not happen. It's going to do it if he can. And what do? You can panic. You know, you can do whatever, you know. But if also you know the word of promise, you can say, well, the Lord already said we're going over to the other side. And other side we will. I know that personally, before the end of last year, going, you know, to the first part of this year, the Lord gave me some word for our own congregation here in Phoenix. And I declared it. And I said, well, we're not going into 2022, but we're going through 2022. Now that tells me that the Lord's waiting for us on January 1, 2023. But we're going through. We're not just going into it and then die there. No, that's not going to happen. We declared that by the word of the Lord at the end of last year. But we've had to fight for it. You know, there have been challenges, you know, throughout the year, situations, different people that we had to fight for and say, Lord, you said we're going through. And we are going through. And ladies and gentlemen, we are going through. And not only are we going through this year, when we arrive in 2023, by the grace of God, we are going through that one as well. Until the Lord comes, we will continue to go through. There's not a place that we're going into and we're going to die there. No, we're going through. But the Lord also gave us other words of wisdom, what we must do this year. You know, and one of those words was, look, it is time for us to flow and walk with God in the prophetic. And not just be looking for a prophetic word here and there. A prophetic word, you look for the word for this season. You go to a man of God or a woman of God, give you a prophetic word, and you leave that place, you go look for another prophetic word. Why? When you yourself can be hearing the voice of God. You can hear the voice of God yourself. Exodus 19 and 5 invited them to hear the voice of God themselves. If you indeed obey my voice, well, you got to hear it in order to obey it. And initially they said they would do it, but later they said we can't do it. And this is the reason they're always looking for some prophetic word from place to place. You can hear the word, voice of God yourself when you hear, when you have a Holy Spirit. But when you know that promise, what you must do is contend for it. Glory to God. And so if there's anything that has been promised you this year, which has not yet come to pass, well, in God's mind, it's already come to pass. Maybe you just haven't seen it yet. Well, you got to contend for it. And so we're going to do that in the room here this morning. We are going to pray. Glory to God. And I pray and admonish everyone that you put on your prayer mantle. That's right. You put on your prayer mantle. Now, this room is called prayer fire anyhow. And not only when you are in this room, wherever you go, you put on your game face for the rest of this year. Now, you know, if there's something that you are still waiting for that you haven't gotten, it's not the time to be surfeiting and drinking. You know, at a time like this, people eat and drink a lot. Well, you know, then next year, they're going to come back and make resolutions of how to lose all that weight. But, you know, this is the time to get in there and pray and seek the face of the Lord. If there is anything else that is still holding out on you, you better get in there because the time of promise is drawing near. And the admonition is for you to pray through, contend for that promise. Don't just sit out there and think that it's just promise is just going to come to pass. Because the devil is going to fight tooth and nail. And you must also fight. You got to contend for the promise. So in summary, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to keep this room brief today because I want to go into prayer. In summary, what we've talked about is this, in case you joined a little bit later. There is a time known unto God for certain things, and it may be major things in your life. And when that time of that promise begins to draw near, God will begin to orchestrate some things. And that's I'm giving a summary of what we've said so far. When he begins to orchestrate those things, best known unto him how he's going to do that. That's his department. We don't need to tell God what to do. But while he's at it, he may cause your present situation, to be more uncomfortable, or allow it to get more uncomfortable, allow your distress to get even worse, allow, whatever you are going through to seem like it may get worse, so that you may cry out even the more. He may allow the brook to get dry, because he needs you to get out of that and move on for something greater. But if you stay there, even when the brook is dried, then you're going to miss a blessing. Now, when God says the rain is coming, and you've seen it, and he's shown it to you, then it's time for you to pray it through. That's what Elijah did. When God showed the captivity of the children of Israel, 70 years in captivity under Babylon and so forth, Daniel, he read it in the days of Jeremiah, and then he began to pray. And then, of course, these things came to pass. God began to help bring restoration. People like, Ezra, Nehemiah, all these people, restoration came. But what did Daniel do? When he understood by the books that it was time for this promise to come, well, he began to pray. He set his face steadfastly in prayer. So that's our lesson today. Whatever it is that God has promised, and I also said that it's not a promise unless you know what was promised. But once you know what was promised, then you get a hold of that thing and don't turn loose. Don't turn loose, until it comes to pass. Some people say, pray until something happens. That's P-U-S-H, it's push. Well, you get to pray until that promise comes to pass. Especially when you see that the time is drawing near. When the time is just at hand, that's not the time to quit on the Lord or quit on yourself now. Jesus told in Luke chapter 18, he said, don't give up. Keep on believing and keep on praying. For men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he said, look, when you're crying to God day and night, your Father in heaven, he will answer you speedily. But when he answers you, when he does come, in Luke 18 and verse 8, say, nevertheless, when the Son of Man shows up, when he finally shows up in your situation, will you still be at a point of faith, or would you have quit on the Lord? So this is going to be our prayer point this morning. That's our lesson for this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to pray. I want us to pray the promise through. Now there may be some promises. There may be the word of God that have come unto you. You may even have some declarations that you yourself have made, and God promised you that you will have it. But it looks like it's a million miles away from, what you are believing God for. Well, I say to you that surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. And the enemy, he will fight, but the gates of hell cannot prevail against the promise of God in your life. If you yourself know how to contend for it. If you don't know how to contend for it, then the devil will be able to steal that from you. Because his job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Steal the promise from you, kill your dreams, destroy every hope, and even try to destroy the life. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus over this room right now. For those that have heard my words and those that will hear later through the replay, that something begin to stir up in our hearts. Because we know the time of the promise is drawing near. You know, ladies and gentlemen, even the time of the promise of the coming of the Lord is drawing near. For the Lord said to them, the angel of the Lord said to them, in Acts chapter 1, you know, he said that, look, this same Jesus, why do you stand here and gaze upon the, you know, like this? This same Jesus, whom you see taken up from you, shall also likewise come again in like manner. And so when we see that time of promise drawing near, Acts chapter 1, 11, why stand ye gazing up here in heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So when we begin to see the time of that promise drawing near, what should we do? Well, we need to clean house. We need to get ready. We did that room about 3 or so days ago. Be ye also therefore ready. And through prayer, through seeking the Lord, getting ourselves ready, the bride makes herself ready. So we need to, this is the time in both physical and spiritual realms to begin to pray even more fervently. Now, if you have never prayed before as seriously, this is the time to do it. You must contend honestly for what God has already promised. It's all just around the corner, but it's no time to give up. Now, while you are doing it though, combine that with praising the Lord. Thanking him for what he has already done, the things that you physically have already received and have been enjoying from the Lord. You thank him for that. And you begin to praise him for what is yet to come. Glory to God. And you begin to tell him how great he is based upon the things he's done before. Are that not he that I cut down the dragon and wounded, you know, cut down Rahab, wounded the dragon? Is it not your hand that I dried the Red Sea and made a way for the ransom of the Lord to pass through on dry land? You begin to tell him the things that he has already done. Are you not the one that did this? Are you not the one that did that? I know you also do this other one. Glory to God. You begin to tell him. It is good to remind the Lord of the great things that he has done for us. And telling him, you are the one that did this. That's what David said. The Lord who delivered me out of the hand of the lion, the paw of the bear, he also would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Hallelujah. You know, so you begin to tell God what he already done. Remind him of how great he is and how great things he has already done. But while you are there, you latch on to God. You say, I'm not going to turn loose until you bless me with this other thing, which you said, and I'm waiting for. And you begin to pray. You begin to cry out to God. And God, because the time of promise is drawing near, he will look at that and say, yep. You know, God holds council meetings in heaven. And he can say, you know, who's going to go down there and cause Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? He can also say, who's going to go down there and cause Pearl to receive what she's believing for? That's right. Because she's been there. She's crying out to me. She's believing God. And what about Elaine? God and say, well, the things that are troubling her, you know, one of you go down there and make sure that she gets what she's asking for. What about Kolakbo? Well, he's been believing me for this and that. God called one of those strong angels. Did he not say in his word that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for the elect who shall be heirs of salvation? What about grace? The things that grace are declared before me, even before a cloud of witnesses, you go down there and make sure it happens just like she said. Glory to God. What about Michelle? What about Sam? What about Therese? What about Heather? What about Samantha? What about Veronica? You know, what about Tosha? Everyone like that. Every one of you. What about Ebon? God, when you're crying out to him, his ears will be attentive. And he'll say, you go down there and tell those angels. And God's the only one that commands the angels. You can't command any angels. But when you declare his word, angels are, you know, going to operation based on the word. Because the Lord gave the word, Psalm 68 and verse 11. And great is the company that publishes it. And when you speak and you repeat his word, and when you pray and you are believing God, but you must contend. You know, sometimes, even Daniel said, look, when I began to pray, the answer I was sent. But the prince of Persia withstood that prayer many days. Well, that tells us another lesson there. You know, don't give an inch in your position of faith until you see it come through. Once you are believing God, you hang in there in prayer. You believe God till the end. Glory to God. And God is going to come through for you. I pray as we are going through into, through the rest of this, the last of these days of this year, we're going through to the first part of 2023, and we're going through 2023. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you begin to receive grace to believe even stronger for the things that you have yet to physically receive of the things that God promised you for this year. God's already done it in the heavens. He has already set the ordinances of heaven in place to cause their dominion to happen for you upon the earth. But sometimes, you know, there are the gates of hell are trying to prevail and trying to cause that to not happen. But the Lord said, it's not going to happen. I'm going to cut down all those gates of brass. I'm going to break in pieces all the bars of iron. And you're going to get what you are believing the Lord for. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray and let's believe God in the name of Jesus. Let's believe God stronger even for the rest of the year. Believe God. And I want you to come, if you want to come and make a declaration with me here on the stage, raise your hand. I will bring you up. And I want to let you know this. You know, first, two things that I want to let you know. In God's mind, it's already done. That is why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 23. And that's our declaration to you this morning. It's not that the Lord is going to do it. The Lord has already done it. But you are the one that's yet to receive it. But he's, as far as he's concerned, he's already done it. Sing, go ye heavens, for the Lord has done it. Not the Lord's going to do it. He's already done it. Now, you may not see it just yet. That's why you got to pray. The Lord already told Elisha, I'm sending rain. As far as God is concerned, Elijah, God already dispatched the rain. But Elijah didn't see it yet. Neither did his servant. Seven times they didn't see it. But they got to keep praying and believing God. So God has already done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree that is therein. For the Lord has done it. Now, what is it that you are believing God for that God has done? Now, come and declare, let's believe God together. In the name of Jesus. Welcome, Pearl, to this stage. What say you?
Oh, good morning, Pastor. Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just thank God for this word because it is pertinent for me. Promises that God has had for me in my life are coming to pass right before my eyes. And as I was praying and believing and this is just a good reminder because as it seems like things are coming into fruition and I'm approaching the finish line, I'm not going to lie, I have eased up on my prayers because I'm starting to see it, but I thank God that, you know, for this word and the acronym PUSH, pray until something happens, continue to go, just like, I think Pastor Yato has made references to this in the past. When you're an athlete, you're a track and field runner and you're getting near that and you can't ease up at the end because somebody else can just come and pass you. and cross that finish line or whatever. So I just thank God for this word to continue to pray and persist and go till you, we see our promises and our blessings to the end. I just give glory to God. I'm excited. I'm reinvigorated, re-energized, and I will continue to pray more fervently till I see the end of the promise he's given me. Praise the Lord. Happy Sunday, everybody.
Amen. Well, happy Sunday. Well, happy everything, everybody. You know, it's a happy day every day. Happy days are ahead for you. You can believe it. It said the lions are falling unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage, you know, and I can say by the word of the Lord to everyone that's in this room today, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory come in. You know, now is the time, you know, for you to believe God even stronger than you've ever believed God for. You know, but you must contend. You must contend. When Jacob got a hold of that angel, he said, look, none of us going anywhere today until you bless me. You're not going anywhere. You know, we're going, we're in this thing. You get me a blessing, then I'll let you go. But until you bless me, I'm not letting you go. Glory to God. Now that's some power. And in fact, the Lord changed his name. He said, look, my goodness, you no longer be called Jacob. Jacob was a supplanter. So you will now be called Israel because you are like a prince of God. You know, because you have power with God as a prince. And you have power. And through prayer, how do we get that power? It's on our knees. Elijah put his face between his knees. He knew the promise was coming, but he didn't ease up. Don't ease up now. Just because you know the promise is coming. Don't ease up. You know, this is the time to kick it into another gear. Glory to God. You know, kick it into another gear. Hallelujah. This is the time. You know, you put it in overdrive. You got to push. That's right. Pray until something happens. Prophesy until something happens. That's another P. You know, believe God. You know, just, you know, keep on believing and stay right there. You know, and praise. That's another P. Praise the Lord until something happens. You know, so just begin to pray. Begin to believe God. Don't let up. That's our lesson for today. Do not let up. And don't say, well, some people let up either because, you know, they think, oh, I got it already. And then they let up. Or they get discouraged because they think it's been waiting long. No. Either way, don't let up. The Lord is coming through for you. But your part is to pray it through. Pray it through. Pray it through. Pray it through. Father, for everyone that is believing you, may they receive strength. Even today, greater strength to stay the course. Glory to God. And believe you till the end. And we shall see what we are believing God for. Now, if you are believing God this morning, for whatever it is that you are believing God for, I assure you, the Lord has made provision. That God's providence is his continuous act in the power and the realm of his power and his dominion to protect and to guard and to make assurances to bring you to your destiny. That's the providence of God. Providence of God watches over that destiny, that expected end. And he makes continuous provision. And he's working. God is working. Even though you may not see it, he's working. He's already put things, especially as the time of promise draws near, he has put things into play. Glory to God. Can you see it? Can you believe it? And I tell you, you know, this is you're going to close out this year with joy. Glory to God. You will close out this year with even greater joy. And some of you have had joy And it's been a blessing. And I praise God for that. Some of you have had some challenges, or you are going through some challenges right now. But listen, you know, with the Lord, it is a little thing, you know, to cause things to move swiftly. And he can do that too. He said the angel Gabriel being caused to fly swiftly. He can do that for you. And he can bring things to pass for you. Now listen to this. Isaiah 55 and verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy. I mean, I'll go out of this year, go up into the next year, and through the next year with joy. And ye shall be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. Glory to God. Mountains and hills. I mean, these are the things, you know, that, you know, seem insurmountable. These are the challenges and difficulties that you just can't seem to get around them. You know, anytime you're trying to move forward, the mountains show up, the hills, you can't get around them. But the Bible says that this time around, they're going to break forth into singing. Glory to God. And even the trees of the field, all the trees of the field, that's like people. God will line them up to celebrate your success. Glory to God. Celebrate. They'll clap their hands for you. Hallelujah. So it is a time for you to receive the clapping of hands. Clapping of hands. God will set up things for you and they will celebrate and clap for you. Celebrate your success. Celebrate the goodness of God with you. The voice of celebration, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of peace, the answer of peace coming your way. But you must pray it through. The time of the promise is drawing near for you. The time of the promise and every effect of every vision is just right around the corner. So let's keep believing and let's pray. Let's keep praying through. Thank you everyone for joining. Mammy and Patricia and Cynthia and Lola and Samantha and Heather and Michelle, Sam and Therese and Grace and Colapo and Elaine and Pearl. I thank every one of you and thank you, Pearl, for doing scripture duty today. Yeah, I know that's not easy because I go through quickly, but you did a great job as always. And others who have been helping me, sometimes Sister Grace, sometimes my wife, sometimes Sister Julia, well, it's not here today, but and so on. You know, we walk this together and the Lord bless every one of you. And I want you to go forth believing God, but put on your prayer mantle during this season. That's right. And set your face like a flint. You know, put on your game face. That's what that means. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. He says, for I know that the Lord will help me. He knows that. I mean, this is his own faith. I call this verse actually the declaration of faith. Or faith declaration. That's what he knows. He said, for the Lord God will help me. Isaiah 50 and 7. Therefore, I shall not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint. He put on his game face, boy. You know, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know, hallelujah. He put on his game face. I mean, he's not going to go down, you know, and stay down. No. He said, the Lord's going to help me and I will gain the victory and I will receive that which I am believing God for. It's coming. Something good is going to happen to you because the Lord, there's a song like we sing like that. I say, Jesus of Nazareth is passing your way. Something good is going to happen to you. But you must pray through the things that God has promised. You must pray them through. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to close the room a little early today because it's a busy day for most. You know, worship day, in local congregations, and so forth like that. For me also, same. So we pray and believe God that today God has encouraged you to kick it into high gear. Don't relax and don't relent. Glory to God. But pray that promise through. It's like Elijah did, and pray that rain through. He knew the rain was coming. God said it already. But he sent Ahab to go and eat and drink. But he himself did not go and eat and drink. He himself went up to the top of Carmel, put his face beneath his knees, and began to pray until something happened. So that should be your element, that driving force today. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. P-U-S-H. Prophesy until something happens. That's right. Prophesy just means repeat God's word. That's what prophecy means. You know, and praise until something happens. Just keep praising the Lord. But don't give up and don't give in. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Well, since you are on stage here, Pearl, I'm going to ask you to pray. And let's close out the room. Go ahead, Pearl, since you're here.
Father God, we just thank you so much for today, for allowing us to wake up to see another day. Oh God, we give you glory and honor and praise. You are more than wonderful, oh God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you've blessed us, that we've had the ability to be able to come and to worship at your feet and to be able to hear your word, oh God. We just thank you for that wonderful privilege, oh God. We just pray that the words that we hear, we've heard today, will not fall on fallow ground, oh God, that these words will germinate and take root in our hearts, and that we'll able to walk in them and act them out, not forgetting what we've seen, not forgetting what we've heard, oh God. Heavenly Father, please just help us as we go through to not give up heart. Heavenly Father, help us to be able to push and pray and persevere and endure until something happens. Oh God, we just thank you for this word. We thank you for Pastor Yato, your servant that continues to bring the word forth every day. We thank you for his life. We thank you for the energy you've given him. Sorry. We thank you for the strength you've given him. We thank you for the grit and the determination to serve you and fulfill your mandate for him, oh God. We thank you that that you allow us to be privileged enough to be able to get edification from this word. And that every time we come into this room, we realize that you're mindful of us. This word speaks to each and every one of us, oh God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you just be with us, keep us as we go, and camp your holy angels around us, oh Lord. Heavenly Father, help us to be able to just walk in the promises that you've given us, oh God. For those of us that are going to worship today in our houses of worship, we pray that you open up our hearts and that the words take root in our hearts, and that you just bless us, keep us, and that we'll be able to come into this room another day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that powerful prayer. Well, that's it for the room today, ladies and gentlemen. It's short and quick, and we are going to call it a wrap here. Some of you still have to go to the house of worship, like myself, and so enjoy. Some of you may already have been there, depending on whatever time zone you are in. You know, God bless you and have a great day, everyone. We will be back here by the grace of God tomorrow, same time. Look for the room around 6:15 a.m. Eastern Time. Central is 5:15, and Arizona is, of course, 4:15, UK 11:15, some other parts of the world, like in Nigeria, maybe 12:15 p.m., and so on and so forth. Wherever you are, we'll look for us. We'll be back tomorrow with another life-changing time, life-changing session tomorrow by the grace of God. God bless you all and have a wonderful day, everyone. And this room will now be closing. If you missed some of it, replay will be available in just a few minutes after the room closes. Under my profile, as you scroll through down, you'll see the rooms, the replays are available for all the rooms that we hold under these platforms. And you can listen to whichever one you might have missed. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time. This room will now be closing in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Blessings, everyone.